One of the things my dad used to tell me when I was growing up, you know, if I ran across some really bad situation, he would say,
"Live from the basement, it's Building a Better Dave. Check us out at betterdave.com. Email us at dave@betterdave.com. Or call in your comments, 888-563-3228. Now, here's your host, Dave Jackson.
All right, welcome to another fun-filled episode of Building a Better Dave. I'm going to get myself in trouble today. One of the things you don't do on a podcast is talk about your family, because they might be listening, but I'm experiencing something that I haven't really had in a long, long time. And that is the fact that my brother and I are very, very close. Have been. My brother is the only person that knows what it's like to have my dad as a dad and my sister as a sister. Nobody else can understand that except my brother. And the good news is my dad came through his surgery. He's cancer-free. And it's time to put him into a rehab facility that will basically be for a long, long, long time, if you get my drift. And my brother called me on Wednesday and said, "Hey, we were looking at this place right by his house." Now realize I live an hour away from my brother. It's right by my house, and they don't have any beds. But they have another location a half hour away from his house and a half hour away further from me, making it an hour and a half from my house. Now, he's in Akron, Ohio. I'm in Cleveland, Ohio. There's Akron. There's Fairlawn. There's Coventry. There's Richfield. There's Kent. There's Stowe. There's Cuyahoga Falls. There's 8 billion cities northwest of where he's at. And he decides, okay, let's go look at one southeast. And I said, no, that's not going to work. You're going in the wrong direction. So what's new about this is I've been very, very close with my brother, and am still very close with my brother. But today, I'm mad at my brother. He called on Wednesday to say, "I'm thinking about this place in Alliance, Ohio, which is further away from me. It's not going to work. Go northwest." Thursday, I went to Fairlawn, which is someplace that is northwest of his house, and I went to Cuyahoga Falls, that is northwest of his house, where they actually had, because the problem with nursing homes is, did I say nursing homes? Long care facilities, is that they're kind of full most of the time. It's a matter of finding the right one and finding one that's not going to, I don't know, tie your dad to a bed, treat him right, have a certified, well-educated, friendly staff that doesn't let him live in a pigsty. And we found a place in Cuyahoga Falls. So Wednesday, I told him, nope, Alliance isn't going to work. Thursday, the hospital faxed over my father's information to this place that had a 5-star rating in Cuyahoga Falls. I go look at it, and you know what? After looking at a few nursing homes, they all eventually kind of look like hospitals. They look a lot like hospitals without some of the, with less stairs and elevators. Basically, very nice people, all wonderful people to care for people with Alzheimer's, which in reality, how much care does an Alzheimer's patient need besides a few locked doors and a well-guided staff person to go, "This isn't your room," And I'm not being mean here. This is reality. It's sad. I just visited my dad for the first time in a while in his new nursing home in Alliance, Ohio. And he is with people that are in much worse shape than he is. And this sounds mean. And I don't mean any disrespect. And I think somebody, these family members would agree with me. Many of these people are dead with their eyes open. They are sitting in a chair, half slumped over, half asleep, half awake, kind of oblivious to what's going on. It's very sad. And that's where I go, what kind of care does that person need? So on Wednesday, I said, no, absolutely not. That will not work for me. And on Friday, they've moved my dad to Alliance, Ohio. So yes, I am the Rodney Dangerfield. I'm not sure how, I don't know, I'm not sure how when I tell you on Wednesday that won't work and on Friday you do it anyway. I don't know how I'm supposed to not feel offended, not feel invisible, not feel like my opinion means absolutely nothing. I haven't quite figured that one out. And so today I went to look at the place. And here's the difference. Paint. Both places have ungodly amounts of activities for these people where they'll watch movies, they'll sing karaoke, they'll clap, and they'll paint, basically. Green paint and beige paint, which is warm and soothing. But both have locked doors so people can't get out. The one where he's at now, it's a very restricted area. Both have patios, small ones, where you can go out and sit and go outside and flowers. Both have that. The one that I liked had a fence that you couldn't see over, so you kind of felt fenced in, but the one my dad is at doesn't. The one my dad is at has somebody bring in their dogs so people can pet the dogs. The one I wanted to go to, you could bring your own dog in if you had one. They weren't against that. And so here I am. What do you do now? You've been wronged. And in the end, it's about what's the best care for my dad. And this is where I go. And here's the other thing. These people that I went to today, very, very nice place. Very loving staff. Very knowledgeable staff who told me over and over how they were the experts in Alzheimer's care. If you have to tell me you're an expert, like, can I see someplace non-partial that will tell me you're an expert? Like, I don't know, the Medicare website where you got a rating of 1 and the place I wanted to put him had a rating of, what was it again? Oh, yeah, 5. 5 stars versus 1 star. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to, again, not feel invisible here. Oh, that's right. They have better paint. And if you're into scrapbooking, you can make a collage for his door. So I now get to drive an hour and a half to see my father. Which means if I go to see him, I'm going to spend 3 hours in the car. Now, that's not a problem, according to some people, because when I go to church on Saturday or on Sunday, I drive an hour anyway because I grew up in Akron, and it's only 20 minutes from there, assuming my church stays afloat, which at this point it may not, which means I will be driving an hour and a half from my home to see my dad because of the better paint. So where do we go from here? I mean, I could hold a grudge if I wanted to. One of the things my dad used to tell me when I was growing up, you know, if I ran across some really bad situation, he'd say, "This too shall pass." And so my life has been made harder. This situation will rob me of the two things I don't have, more money for gas and more time that I don't have. Sunday and Saturday, the only days I really get to spend with my family, and, you know, Sunday is pretty much shot now, except for the evening, which I guess I should look at the brighter side. So, and I don't want to be one of those families that don't talk to each other. That's not really worth it. Is the gas and the time I lose worth losing my brother? And when I saw the place that had scrapbooking and an ocean room, I think I know who made this decision. And it's not my brother. That doesn't mean I'm going to hold a grudge against them either. You see, my brother has had my back my entire life. It was my brother who bought me my first baseball mitt. It was my brother that took me to my first concert. It was my brother that I talked to about girls. It was my brother that showed me how to play the guitar. It was my brother that helped me learn how to ride a bike. It was my brother that taught me how to drive a stick. The list goes on and on. It was my brother that, when I got divorced and bankrupt, said, "You have to come live with me. Don't argue. Get over here and let me help you get back on your feet." So what does this prove? Wait, it was my brother that helped me learn how to peel wallpaper. It was my brother that taught me all sorts of house, home building things when I got my first house. And what this proves is my brother's human. And he made a bad decision that unfortunately is going to affect me until my dad passes. And the other thing I realized today as I visited with my dad is that the time to visit with my dad was probably about 10 years ago, because there's just not much left to visit. And now I'll hear about bingo and whatever else they're going to be having him do to keep him busy. It's not going to say, "What'd you do today, Dad?" "Well, I did this and that," and it's going to be arts and crafts, and, you know, it's going to be the same story, even more so now than ever. So my point today is, though, one of the nicest things you can do for anyone on the planet is to listen to them. George Michael, I'm going to date myself, not a big George Michael fan. Love the guy's definitely talented. Was not a big fan when he was famous. But he had an album called Listen Without Prejudice, which was basically George saying, "I know I'm George Michael. I know. I can't do anything about it. But can you just listen to this without prejudice?" Because the record company didn't want to put it out because he had written a bunch of his own songs, et cetera, et cetera. And it's actually a really good album. And that is so easier said than done. When you're talking with someone and they voice an opinion that's not yours, to listen to that without prejudice, because most of the time we then voice our opinion, and in some cases that becomes an argument. And you have to step back from your opinion and go, okay, is what they're saying, does it have any merit? If I only knew what they knew, taking out what I know about the situation, is that rational? Because one of the most precious gifts you can do for somebody is to listen to them. Because when you don't, when somebody will not let you be heard, let alone listened to, nothing makes you feel more invisible, more small, more insignificant than that. So today, my words of wisdom are, if your wife is talking to you, if your kids are talking to you, I know in this age of multitasking, you can watch the TV and listen, you can read the newspaper and listen, you can cook and listen. Stop whatever you're doing and look at that person in the eye. And don't just hear them. Listen to them without prejudice and hear them, because it's a wonderful, wonderful gift. That's it. I will heal. I'm okay. My dad's okay. And in reality, I guess that's what really matters. And my brother's made his choice. And in reality, he's the person now that's going to be having to take care of my father more than I am. He's made that choice, and that really makes my choice. They were telling me about all these things I could do with my father at night. You can come down and eat dinner with him. No, I can't. I can't get there by 6 o'clock. I can barely get there by 7. So that's not going to work. I'll only be able to see him on the weekends. But like I said, visiting him is really almost, I don't want to say pointless. He knows who I am. He's happy to see me. And I hope it makes him feel loved. But there's not really much there to visit with. So I do it because God says to honor your mother and father. And basically in the past, I've kind of mailed that one in. And I think that's part of this whole process too. I think there was some guilt involved with this. And actually, in reality, to take some heat off my brother, we all failed on this one. When my dad went in the hospital, we should have been looking for long-term care places immediately, because we knew we were going to need one. So shame on all of us. Because what happened was we had to move him. We had to move him now, which meant we had no time to come up with a plan C and D. So life goes on. Life is too short to carry grudges. And you just try to make things better. So that's it. I don't want to ramble on. It's a new thing, being angry at my brother. And I've been here, I've done that, and I'm ready to put it down. We'll see you again real soon. Take care, everybody.